6th chapter 5, Narada Muni cursed by Prajapati Daksha, text 31. Ratrinam,
Ratrinam. Translation. A brother aware of the
principles of religion, follows in the footsteps of his elder brothers. Because of being highly elevated, such a pious brother gets the opportunity to associate and enjoy with demigods like the Maruts, who are all affectionate to their brothers. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to their belief in various material relationships, people are promoted to various planets. Here it is said that one who is very faithful to his brothers should follow a path similar to theirs and get the opportunity for promotion to Marud Loka. Narada Muni advised Prajapati Daksha's second group of sons to follow their elder brothers and be promoted to the spiritual world. Mbrachinam prayanam brata yonutishnati dharmavit sakunya bandhu purusho marudvi sahamodite. A brother aware of the principles of religion follows in the footsteps of his elder brothers. Because of being highly elevated, such a pious brother gets the opportunity to associate and enjoy with demigods like the Maruts, who are all affectionate to their brothers. Shri Gurudev Namah, Shri Chaitanya Manobhishnam Statidam Gena Mukhade, Swayam Vikadama Yam Dadati Sthanapadantika, Panchakapatrubhya Stankripa Sundhubhya Vacha, Padidanam Lavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Brahma Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Rasthingora Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we were discussing yesterday the point. Same point is being referred to here indirectly, that Narada Muni, in preaching to the Savalashvams, the second group of sons of Daksha, Narada Muni was preaching in a very, very thoughtful way, very profound way, actually. We discussed that yesterday, that he was not just speaking like a parrot. He was just not treating them as if they were stupid and just telling them, just bashing them with words and like this. He was, of course, it is our philosophy, it is completely foundational in Krishna consciousness that we repeat what we have heard and we don't speculate and we don't just dream up some idea from the fertile factory of our minds. Generally, our minds, like if you sow seeds, if you're into gardening, you sow seeds in good soil, oh, then everything will boom. But as they say, wasn't it in the Bible, if you sow your seeds where? On rock, was it? Or something, barren land, then you don't get anything. You don't get anything at all. So, Narada Muni, he is preaching extremely nicely. And really, in such a way as to get the maximum response from the audience, And he's bringing up points, this particular point, which it may appear to be tricky, but it is also, it's not tricky, it's very true. That according to the Vedic principles, the older brothers are considered to be like the father in the absence of the father, then the older brothers take the position of the father, particularly the oldest brother. He assumes the same authority in the family as the father. This is Vedic standard. And even though, of course, he's a generation younger and he's not as experienced and knowledgeable and so on, but still, this is Vedic tradition. He has the authority of the father in the absence of the father. So, Narada Muni then, he had already convinced the first group of sons. What were they called? This is the Savalashvas. What was the first group? Hariyashvas, that's it. Thank you. The Hariyashvas. He had convinced them by some other means. Anyway, he convinced them through his preaching. To become devotees and renunciates. Shishinatai Maipo Chandraki. He had convinced them to effectively take sannyas, or at least maintain brahmacharya for their whole lives, and to completely leave behind the possibility of entering household life. And they agreed, they did it. And now Narada Muni is trying to get the second group of sons of Daksha to do exactly the same thing. And he's telling them, oh, look, you know, it is a Vedic principle, just see. You have to follow your older brothers. If you don't, then it is not very good. It is a preaching strategy, really. Although it's true. It's true. But in this context, it's a preaching strategy, because he is in the process of telling them, don't worry about your family. Transcend family considerations. And after all, the father, Daksha, is still living. And we will encounter him shortly, perhaps tomorrow morning, and see his response. Not so fired up. He got so fired up, we got fried. Anyway. So this is strategic preaching. This is very intelligent preaching. And Krishna consciousness is such a thing. It lends itself to being dealt with intelligently. It is not so much. It's very intricate, actually. There are extreme intricacies which arise in Shastra. And so much scope for thinking, for being thoughtful and considering all different considerations and how to take them into account, how to then apply Krishna consciousness in the particular context. And it is not so much just, well, we mentioned yesterday, the idea of quality over quantity. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that if I had just one qualified disciple, I would sit with him alone and just give him everything in Krishna consciousness. So it's not so much of that browbeating, shouting, pushing, forcing, dogmatism, and just believe this and just that's it. Don't question it. I actually met quite a few years ago some Christian people, with all due respect, who they were saying, "Oh, intelligence is very dangerous. We don't like intelligence." And of course, it is a fact that polluted intelligence is extremely dangerous. Because it may look very nice. Yes, oh, we're figuring everything out here. We're coming up with so many solutions. But it's all polluted. It's all contaminated by lust, anger, greed, different material elements, material factors. And therefore all the deliberations, all the conclusions that come out, they're all twisted and will simply serve to entangle the person deeper in material existence. In the name of getting out of material existence, we are going deeper into material existence. In the name of getting out of Maya, we're falling under her clutches more and just falling down. Yes, so material intelligence, beware. Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita, in those verses, is it towards the end of the third chapter, that Maya has taken over the senses and the mind, and Maya has made her capital in the intelligence. Isn't it? Says that in Bhagavad Gita. Something to that effect. Maya has made her capital in the intelligence. And the other things, she has control of them also. But because she has made her capital in the intelligence, then even if the senses become attracted to something else, or the mind somehow becomes interested in something else, but if the intelligence turns around and says, "No, no, 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 we're not going to do this. We are going to do something else. No, we don't want to eat this Hare Krishna food. We want to eat whatever it is, something else. Because, you know, this reason, that reason, so many reasons," coming from the so-called intelligence. So, because Maya, whereas on the other hand, even if the senses are thinking, "Oh, look at that, hear this, taste something else," and the mind is thinking, "Oh, very nice, very nice," but if the intelligence is strong enough, and due to being under the shelter of Krishna, through chanting, hearing the philosophy, and becoming convinced and fixed in one's conviction, then even though the mind sometimes is considering other opportunities and possibilities for life, but the intelligence will say, "No, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to stick to Krishna consciousness, even though there are other opportunities. Material life has its glitter." So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very expert in preaching, very intelligently, just as Narada Muni is. And really, like we were saying, planting the seeds very nicely planting the right seeds in the right ways, and then cultivating those seeds of bhakti, bhakti lata bij. So many seeds of the different creepers of devotional service and in so many people's hearts, and cultivating so nicely that wonderful results were coming. Yes. And not just some mechanical approach. And not just some brainless type of approach or same thing to everyone. But being very personal and very careful in how he spread Krishna consciousness. And even taking risks. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he had temples, 64 temples eventually, in India and surrounding areas. There were a few, Burma and some places like that. So there they were preaching, and of course they were developing a congregation. They had a big, huge congregation, but also they were preaching and getting devotees to join the temples. Mainly men, or practically all men. Young men. And in India in those days, and even today, you know, it's sort of like this almost everywhere. In African culture, I've also seen it's very strong. The sons, they have to work and support the family. Isn't it? In African culture. Like that. In European culture, it's also like that, but not as much. Some of the young boys, when they turn 18 or something, they're kicked out of the house. You go and look after yourself. But in other cultures, particularly the Indian culture, the responsibilities of the sons, oh, they're practically inescapable. Men must work, must support the family. And so on like this. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, through his preaching, was stimulating so many people to take to Krishna consciousness in different ways, including householders to become congregational devotees. But he was also preaching to young men to become brahmacharis. So many of them did. Hundreds or thousands, perhaps, became brahmacharis and were living in the temples and running the temples and preaching. But, as they say, as Abraham Lincoln said, you can please all the people some of the time, some of the people all the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. So, surely the family members, when they attended the program of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and heard him preaching, they thought, oh, very nice. What nice Krishna consciousness. And then they would see their sons take an interest and improve themselves. And then they would think, oh, very nice. Our sons are no longer hanging out on the street corners listening to disco music or rap music. Of course, they didn't have that in those days, but anyway. Very nice. But then, after a while, some of those boys, they got into it so much, they said, we're going to join the temple. See you later. If you want to see me, come visit the temple. And the parents would think, what? We invested so much time and energy and money in you to bring you to this point of adulthood. Now you're meant to reciprocate by working and giving us money, and you're just going to leave. All right. Lord. So they get very upset. So they would come, when the boys would come to join the temple, in many cases the parents would come to the temple, not just the parents, but the parents and their brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and the grandparents and, you know, like this horde, these hordes would descend on the temple looking for one little brahmachari. So, and even when they couldn't, if they couldn't find him, if they knew he was there or they thought he was there, sometimes they would call the police. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, sometimes he would take that boy, if he could see, this boy really wants to be a brahmachari. If they were sort of, well, like we mentioned yesterday, brahmastams, brahmastrams, you know, not really sure what direction they wanted to go in, then maybe wouldn't make such a big thing of it. But if they were really serious, then there were occasions Srila Bhaktisiddhanta hid such a boy in his room and even under his bed. And when the police came, they're searching the place, they'd come to his room, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would say, "Oh, this is my room." Because he's in a big acharya. Big sannyasi guru. Really, like, extremely big person. Then this is, "Oh, this is your room." "Oh, okay." They would not go and search his room. Yes. And there were occasions, there was one occasion, Prabhupada talks about it, where one such person, actually he had been married. But he attended the program, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was preaching extremely powerfully, and it struck this young married man so strongly that he just decided, "Sure, I'm just going to give up family life, leave my wife, and just, you know, I'm going to take sannyas." So he came and he took sannyas. But in the middle of the ceremony, the wife came with family members and, you know, this whole screaming group. And they physically picked him up out of this sannyas initiation ceremony and took him away. And he stayed with them. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada explains, when this happened, he cried. He cried. Not just because, you know, for some sentimental reason, but because he felt so much for the well-being of fallen conditioned souls. And in his wisdom, he could see that this person, we have to get him somehow in this way. Otherwise, he's finished. And from what we understand, that person became finished. He didn't take to Krishna consciousness because as soon as he would say the word Krishna after that, his wife and family members would have a fit, thinking he was going to just leave again. So like this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very, very concerned to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. And not just in some sort of formal way, not just some sort of numbers game, you know, how many books have you distributed, and so many, "Oh, I've done a few more," and it becomes a numbers game. "How many devotees in your temple?" "Oh, we have more in our temple." Not just some sort of basically mundane thing like that, but deeply concerned for each and every living entity to deliver them from this material world. Yes. So, like Narada Muni, well, Srila Prabhupada said that, this famous, very famous statement of Srila Prabhupada's, that to deliver one person, we are prepared to spill gallons of blood. Not some sort of don't care attitude, take it or leave it, you know, it's your problem. But actually making the effort to reach out, and where there's some spark of interest, trying to fan it and develop it. You know, before a person gets from the point of initial interest in Krishna consciousness to the point where, for example, they're initiated, from that point to that point, it is a tricky path. There are not so many cases where it's just like, oh, Krishna consciousness, right. And then bang, away they go, full steam again. There's usually many twists and turns and ups and some, usually a few fairly severe downs and, you know, turns in other directions. And the young devotees, the service of directing people to progress in Krishna consciousness is usually compared to being like a parental function. It's not really like a managerial function. You stand up, sit down, do this, don't do that. It's more like a parental function. And parental function, anyway, any of you who are parents, you know, it is a detailed job. And it is a minute-by-minute job. I mean, if you just hand the child over to the maid and head off to work to earn more money, don't expect your child is going to really turn out to be so nice. You know, it's sort of like you or the type of person you expect them to be. Just dump them with whoever it may be. Yeah, so anyway, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was a very, very great preacher like that. And he's, of course, the inspiration for Srila Prabhupada, who was such an amazing preacher like that, in giving Krishna consciousness in ways which will actually deliver people and creating an infrastructure in ISKCON, creating an infrastructure in ISKCON to give the support that is needed as the devotees go from step to step down the path. And then from beginning devotional service to first initiation, that's one thing. But then the path from first initiation to sannyas, well, that's another thing. Trying to get the person, you know, through household life and to come out on the other side in one spiritual peace. And to the point where, you know, when they're old enough and the household life, you know, all the fun is definitely over a long time ago. And there's nothing more really to find there than to take sannyas. Well, okay, Hare Krishna. So, maybe that's why a lot less people take sannyas than get first initiation. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, from his childhood, it is a long story. It's a very long story, of course. But from his childhood, he was working for Krishna consciousness. He appeared in 1874. He left this world in 1936, January the 1st. So it was only 61 years. He was only 61 at the time he left this world. But from his childhood, he was fully dedicated to Krishna consciousness in ways which are unthinkable for so many people, so many of us. When he was 3, Srila Prabhupada tells the story. It was summer, mango season, and a little child, 3-year-old, running around here and there, running through the house, on the table, oh, there's a nice mango. It's mango season. There are just mangoes everywhere. People unable to give away their mangoes. So many. There's a nice mango. He grabbed it and started eating. And his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, came and said, oh, that mango was to be offered to the deity. And you have taken it and eaten it. That is an offense. Mildly chastising him. 3-year-old child. Mildly trying to get the message across, at least the basic idea. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, 3 years old, he took it so seriously in Krishna consciousness that on the spot he vowed, I will never eat mango again. And he didn't eat mango again. And of course, people would offer, but he would refuse and say, no, I cannot. I am an offender. So for his whole life, he never accepted mango again, ever. At the age of 7 years, he'd memorized entire Bhagavad Gita. I don't know for sure, but I assume none of us have memorized entire Bhagavad Gita. Yes, so, and from his early days, he was preparing himself for the mission. In his sort of 20s or so, he decided that in order to prepare himself for the mission, he would chant 1 billion names. 1 billion names. So, following the standard of Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur, 3 lakhs of names a day means approximately 192 rounds a day. Those of us who struggle sometimes to finish 16, well, anyway, what can we say? We're talking about another dimension of Krishna consciousness, actually. So he did that for almost 10 years, more than 9 years. He was living in a grass hut. Grass hut means, in this case, it was big enough for him to lie down in and sit up in. So it was, you know, this high, this wide, 2 meters long, that was it. And simply sitting there chanting. And it was not, you know, when we say grass hut, it was not your professional thatched hut, you know, for the upper middle class people to have on their houses to look trendy. It was just some grass hut. That's all. And it leaked. And when it leaked, he had an umbrella. He would sit there with the umbrella over his head and chant. until he had fulfilled that vow of 1 billion names. And then he began the preaching mission. Yes. Yes. So, his idea, of course. Well, there's so many pastimes. But his idea was to make the whole world Krishna conscious. His idea was not just to gather some, with all due respect, nice Hindu people around and get them out of some of their old Hindu ways and get them to be more in the Vaishnav ways. And, you know, not look in their temple room to see if they still have demigods on the altar. And things like this, pitfalls of those from Hindu backgrounds. And neither was his idea to spread Krishna consciousness around the world to all the Hindu communities around the world. The sort of the sitting ducks. They have gone there around the world. They are, you know, without their culture. And suddenly here comes Swami. And they're very happy. Oh, you've come to give us, help us with our culture here in this distant land while we make money and enjoy sense gratification, Western style. We will, on Sundays, we will have our Swami conduct our program and we will be very nice. Good Hindu people, just see. We went to America, but we didn't fall down. We have our bhajan every Sunday. No, his idea was make the whole world Krishna conscious. And so he said, we should establish temples, not just in the holy places, not just in the nice places where we can relax comfortably, but we should establish our temples in the cities, the hearts of the cities, as they say, in the belly of the beast. Right in the middle of the Kali Yuga. Because that's where everyone is. That's where we can get people. And in that situation, we can very vividly show people what is material existence. And by comparison, show them how Krishna consciousness is so much better. So this is the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. And he instructed Srila Prabhupada like that. As we know, at their first meeting, they had not met before. Srila Prabhupada had only heard of his existence some minutes before. So they went to the program. Srila Prabhupada offered his obeisances, because he was from a Vaishnava family and he knew in front of the sadhu you must offer your obeisances. So he did that. And before they had even said, hello, how are you? Or anything of that sort, Srila Bhakti, even before he had sat up and composed himself, while he was still sort of on the way up from having offered obeisances, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told him, you should spread Krishna consciousness in the English language. You're an intelligent person. It'll be good for you, and it'll be good for those who hear from you. And Srila Prabhupada said, it's in his biography, that he was taken aback. How could this man do this? He doesn't even know my name, and he's now trying to take over my whole life and change my whole life completely. So what's going on? But by the time Prabhupada walked out of the program that evening, he was convinced. that he's right. He's actually right. And he was already convinced, I must take shelter of this person and accept him as my spiritual master. Of course, it doesn't always happen like that so quickly, but it did happen in the case of Srila Prabhupada. So then Srila Prabhupada was a householder and businessman, and he was not really able to associate much directly with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, but he always kept him within his heart and kept remembering him and studying his literature and so on. So he was always very intimately connected in that way. Prabhupada said actually that he was only in the presence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta not more than 10 times. Otherwise he was away doing his family business and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was preaching around. But he wrote to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta a few days, a couple of weeks before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta left this world. And he explained, my dear Guru Maharaj, I am your disciple. You have so many disciples, I am one of them. But I am a householder. You have so many other disciples, brahmacharis, sannyasis. They're serving you so nicely. But me, I'm a householder. I have my commitments. But please tell me, how can I serve you? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wrote back just a few days before he left this world with exactly the same instruction. That you please push our movement in the English language and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. It will be good for you and it will be good for those who hear from you. And then a few days later, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta left this world. So Srila Prabhupada, he was completely, totally, you know, after that confirmation, just before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's departure, completely convinced, this is it, this is my mission. So, today is the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. We should try and meditate on him and remember him today. And of course, I think most of you are going to be helping with the preparing for the festival. So meditate on doing this for his pleasure as part of his mission to fulfill his specific desire to give Krishna consciousness to the world. And we can pray to him on the appearance and disappearance days of the great acharyas. They're more accessible. Normally we have to approach via the disciplic succession, but on these appearance and disappearance days we can directly pray to them and communicate with them and get special mercy from them. So let us try and focus like this today. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura ki. Hare Krishna. I think that's all for today.